Welcome to Scoop and Scale, where we dish up the science and weigh facts about mostly equine nutrition. I'm Michelle Anderson. I spent 2 decades working in equine media, and I currently create content and help veterinarians and businesses connect with horse owners through my consulting business, Cadence Marketing and Media. I'm a trail rider, dressage rider, and an at-home horse keeper.
And I'm equine nutrition consultant, Dr. Claire Tunis of Clarity Equine Nutrition. I develop diet plans for horses ranging from metabolic seniors to Olympic athletes. I also consult for equine nutrition companies. I'm a scientist, dressage rider, and a pony club mom.
Claire and I collaborated for years when I was the editor of an equine publication, and she was one of our regular contributors. We'd finished work, but we always had more to talk about. New products, new research, and our own horses. This podcast is an extension of those conversations. It's for anyone who wants to make better choices when it comes to feeding and caring for their own horses.
And before we get started, a quick disclaimer. The information in this podcast is general and not meant to replace the individualized advice of your own qualified equine nutritionist or veterinarian. While I have a PhD in nutrition, I'm not a veterinarian and can't give medical advice.
With that, thank you for joining us, and we hope you enjoy the following episode.
As Michelle mentioned at the end of the last episode, we've been doing our Scoop and Scale podcast for a year now. We've had a huge growth in listeners and people are joining us from all over the world, which is super exciting. And as more people have been listening, we've been getting some great questions submitted. But we haven't taken any time to really step back and answer those. And so I thought with Michelle being away today, it would be a great time to get some of your questions answered. So today's episode will be all about answering listener questions. So let's jump in. Tammy wrote to us that she has a 17-year-old chestnut thoroughbred mare who weighs about 1,000 to 1,100 pounds. She's a hunter and she's working 5 days a week, and Tammy fully boards her horse. And she goes on to say that she currently gets fed a hay Timothy mix 2 times a day, hay once a day, and alfalfa once a day at supper time. She also gets a little pre-soaked beet pulp mixed with some milled flax biotin, a joint supplement, and some other pellets. Tammy says that she has a boredom bowl that she fills with alfalfa cubes once a day for her mare. So her question is it better to feed dry milled flax, or would I recommend that she feed an oil instead? And she also asks, should a rationous balancer be fed daily as well as loose salt? So these are great questions. So let's start off with the flax question. So is it better to do a dry milled flax or an oil? I think that really depends. So we feed flax because it's a great source of plant-based omega-3 fatty acids, and it kind of has a similar fatty acid profile to good quality grass. So in that sense, it kind of mirrors the horse's kind of what would be their natural diet. And so a lot of people gravitate towards flax for giving their horses some omega-3s, as those are often missing in our hay-based diets because omega-3 fatty acids are not very heat stable. And so there's not a lot of omega-3 fat in hay, although there would be quite a lot in good quality fresh pasture. So it's not uncommon for people to want to add in some omega-3 to their horse's diet to make up what's been lost in their hay. And flax is sort of an easy, natural way of doing that. The trick with flax is flax is a little hard seed. It's not always the easiest to chew, and the shell on it is not always super digestible. And so in order to help improve digestibility of the flax seed, we often grind it or mill it. The problem with that is that now we have oxygen that's able to access the internal parts of that flax. And oxygen can cause the fatty acid components in the flax seed to become rancid and oxidize. So in order to prevent ground or milled flax seed from going rancid, it really needs to be what we call stabilized, which helps to protect those fatty acids and stop them from going rancid when they're exposed to the air. If you're somebody that feeds whole flax seed and you decide you want to grind them yourself, that's fine, but you need to grind them and then feed them, you know, almost immediately thereafter, or you can grind several servings worth and put them in a Ziploc bag and then put those in the fridge to help keep them protected from oxidation. A lot of the flax that's commercially available and already milled or ground for horses does state that it's stabilized. And so that's what I would be looking for. If I was going to feed milled flaxseed to a horse, I'd be looking for one that says that it's been stabilized, it's stabilized flaxseed meal, and that would be fine. Whether or not I suggest an oil, again, the oil is just a fat component that's been extracted from the seeds. And that oil is going to be, you know, sensitive to heat and light degradation in the same way. And so if I'm feeding a flax oil, I want to make sure that it's in a container that is opaque so that it can't be damaged by light. And I want to make sure that it's not being exposed to extreme temperatures, especially heat. So I want to keep that in a fairly sort of room temperature environment. So certainly where I live in Arizona, where our feed room can get well above 100 degrees Fahrenheit in the summer, if I had flax oil, I'd want to be putting that in the fridge to protect it. The oil obviously is just straight fat. And so if I'm doing flax oil instead of flax seed, I don't have to feed as much oil to get the same amount of fat, omega-3 fat, into the horse as I do if I'm feeding flax meal. So I might feed 4 ounces by weight of ground stabilized flax meal, or I might do half of that in fluid ounces of oil. So my typical recommendation when people want to feed their horses ground stabilized flax meal is that we feed 1 cup, which is 8 ounces by volume. But because flax is really light and fluffy when it's ground, that's only going to be 4 ounces by weight. So we're going to do 1 cup of ground flax, which is 4 ounces by weight. If I was going to do an oil, because that's super concentrated and only the fat component, I might only do 2 fluid ounces of flax oil. And there are other omega-3 oils out in the market that are good options as well. There's camelina oil. That's also a plant-based oil that has a somewhat similar fatty acid profile to flax. There's chia seeds. So if you want to feed a dry product, chia seed can be a really good option there. Again, it has a similar omega-3 profile to the flaxseed, and they don't need to be ground. The shell on chia is not as hard, and so you can feed those whole, but they are quite a lot more expensive. And then if you really want to go to the big guns, then obviously feeding a fish oil or fish oil kind of combined with another oil is a great way to go. And then you're actually getting your EPA and DHA oils directly. And we've touched on those in different situations in previous episodes. And probably at some point we'll do an in-depth look at feeding fat to horses. That would be a great podcast episode on its own. And then Tammy's other question is, should a ration balancer be fed daily as well as loose salt? And my answer there is yes. If you're feeding, you know, if you're feeding a ration balancer, that really is like a daily sort of multivitamin, mineral vitamin supplement, and it should be fed daily. And similarly, salt should be provided for daily as well. And I think all our listeners probably know by now that I'm a big fan of providing salt directly to the horse every day, and also making sure that your horses have access to a salt block. But because horses are somewhat sporadic in their use of salt blocks and may not actually lick enough salt off of a block to meet their sodium needs each day, I'm a big fan of putting their daily maintenance sodium requirement as salt in their feed each day. So for an average size, kind of 1,000-pound horse like Tammy's, she would be looking to add 2 tablespoons of salt per day to her horse's feed. And that's going to provide her horse with its maintenance sodium requirement. So that's the sodium requirement that horse needs on a cool day, doing no work and not sweating. On days when it gets hot or it's sweating or working hard, then you would want to add an electrolyte in addition to that, the purpose of the electrolyte being to replace sweat losses. So yes, ration balancers should be fed every day. And it's one of the mistakes I see people make is, you know, when their horses, if they gain a little bit of weight, they think of ration balancers like grain. And as a result, when their horses gain a little weight, they start taking away the ration balancer because in their head, they're thinking grain and they're thinking, oh, my horse is too fat. I need to reduce their grain intake each day. But ration balancers are not grain in the traditional sense. They're really more like a vitamin mineral supplement. And if you take out the ration balancer in that situation, you're not really reducing the ration by very many calories because ration balancers are not very calorie dense. They don't really provide very much more calories than a pound of hay. But what you are doing is you're then significantly reducing the vitamin mineral content of the diet. And so you can end up with a diet that hasn't really had very many calories removed, but has now become quite significantly deficient in some really key nutrients. So yes, ideally you need to feed your ration balancer every day and your loose salt every day as well. So Tammy, I hope that helps. That was a great question. So I'm going to move on now to Emily. And Emily joined our podcast having heard a talk that I gave to the Horse Council in British Columbia that I did earlier this spring. And Emily's question, she says, I have a question about reading, interpreting feed bag labels. I'm finding it difficult to figure out if my ration balancer supplement is meeting all of the vitamin and mineral needs for my horses. How do I find out the recommended daily feeding rate for each mineral? That's a great question, Emily, because yes, we put a lot of trust in our labels and the manufacturers that when they say, if we just feed this amount, you'll get what your horse needs, there's a lot of trust there that you will in fact get that. She goes on to say that she assumes that if she feeds the product that she selected as instructed, that the horse will be getting everything he needs. But how do I know for sure? Emily says that she'd like to know how she knows if her balancing supplement that she's using a product with a 200 gram serving per day, and is that meeting her horse's needs? So in order to figure that out, Emily, there's a couple of things you have to do. First of all, you have to know what your horse weighs, and you have to determine what he does for a living, because that actually dictates what your horse's requirements are. So you're going to have to do a weight estimation on your horse. So for that, you can either use a weight tape, or you can just use a regular tape, measurement inches or centimeters, and then use one of the various calculations out there to calculate your horse's weight. And then you need to assess their condition and decide, well, is that actually a good weight for them or not? Because maybe, you know, you determine that they weigh 1,000 pounds, but they're significantly underweight or significantly overweight, and that's not their ideal weight. So what is their ideal mature weight? And then how hard are they working? Are they in light work, not working? Is it a brood mare? Is it growing? These are all considerations that impact what the nutrient requirements are. And then the best way to figure out, you know, whether your feed is meeting your horse's needs and what your horse's needs are is to use one of the calculators that's out there. And there is a free horse for feeding calculator on them out there that you can use that was designed by the National Research Council. And so if you go into your search engine and you type in something like NRC horse feeding calculator, you'll find it will probably come up. And we'll put the website in the notes, but the website you're looking for when you look at your search results, it'll say something like webassets.nationalacademies.org/NRH. And that is like a little free calculator that you can put in your horse's weight and work level, and it will then tell you all of the minimum nutrient requirements that size horse working that hard has. So it'll tell you how many milligrams of copper, how many grams of calcium, how many grams of lysine. And then you can kind of compare that to your tag and see what kind of contribution your ration balancing supplement is making towards the horse's total requirement. And sort of an easy rule of thumb is that I like to see at least 50% of their like trace mineral requirements coming from the ration balancer or ration balancing supplement that you've selected. So check and see what the requirement is based on that NRC requirement calculator, and then look at your feed tag and see, is the tag guaranteeing at least 50% of, say, like their lysine and their copper, zinc, selenium, vitamin E requirement compared to that? If you want to be a little more accurate, you could use, you know, software that's available such as FeedXL that has a paid subscription model where you can go in and for a fee, you can do that. And the nice thing about something like FeedXL is that you can actually put in all your horse's information, and they have a huge feed library and supplement library, and you can say, I'm feeding this kind of hay, this many pounds of hay, and I'm feeding, you know, 200 grams of the supplement that you mentioned in your question. And how does that stack up to the horse's requirement? And it will tell you. And then you can figure around in there and take different suggestions and try different products if there are issues and see if you can find something that would work better or something that would kind of plug any holes that you have remaining. So that's a great question and definitely recommend checking out those various feed calculators. And obviously, you know, if you have access to an equine nutritionist, they can do that for you too and look at that and tell you whether or not your horse's needs are being met. And they likely are using software similar to those that I've mentioned or something that they've kind of created for themselves and could definitely help you with that kind of question. I know I do a lot of that for people. It's exactly what I am doing is I'm looking at what is a specific client's horse's requirements. And then how does their current diet stack up against that? And then I'm making specific targeted recommendations on products I think would work better or products that could be added to make the diet better or supplements that might help for a targeted condition that the horse has, such as joint health or gut health issues. And so then I'm just making targeted recommendations. So that's the other option you have available too, is to work with a qualified equine nutritionist who can help you determine whether or not your horse's needs are actually being met. So Diane has an Iberian horse showing at the intermediate one level in dressage, and she notes that he's pre-insulin resistant based on blood work. He gets no grain. He only gets a ration balancer and Supersport, which is an amino acid supplement, and he gets his balancer and Supersport once a day. For his forage, he gets a flake of alfalfa twice a day and two flakes of hay three times a day. And I'm assuming that when Diane says two flakes of hay, she's meaning grass hay. So her question is, would I be better off eliminating one flake of alfalfa and upping the supplements to twice daily? Well, Diane, I'm not quite sure what your question exactly is asking, whether or not you're asking better off from amino acid protein profile, I think is perhaps what you're meaning, since you're thinking of switching the alfalfa for, you know, increasing these two supplements, the ration balancer and the Supersport, both of which are likely high in protein and have a lot of amino acids in them. So I'm going to assume that that's what you're kind of questioning. And the thing is, and I don't know exactly how much your flakes weigh, so that's something that we'd need to take into account. For example, if you were here in Arizona and we had the large 120-pound three-string alfalfa bales, your alfalfa flakes might weigh 7 to 8 pounds a day. If you were up, say, in Washington State with a two-string alfalfa bale, those flakes might only weigh 4 or 5 pounds, which is quite a significant difference. So it's important to know, you know, exactly how much your hay weighs and how much alfalfa we're considering removing from the diet. But either way, even if it's one of those small flakes and you're only removing 4 or 5 pounds of alfalfa per day, that's a reduction of about 4 or 5 megacalories of digestible energy per day. And even if you were to double your ration balancer from 1 pound to 2 pounds per day, and they're a little bit higher in calories, but not much, it's going to be, you know, potentially a 4 or 5 megacalorie reduction in calorie intake per day. And I don't know whether your horse is currently in good weight or not on the diet that you're feeding, but if he is in good weight and doesn't need to lose weight, this could cause him to lose weight that you don't necessarily want him to lose. So that would concern me a little bit. It's not a completely apples to apples substitution. I also don't know exactly how much ration balancer you're currently feeding to know whether it would actually be safe for you to increase your balancer by twice the amount, the same with the Supersport. If I make the assumption that you're feeding a pound of balancer, you know, certainly most balancers can be fed safely to horses of, you know, comparable weight to what your horse probably is as an Iberian horse, up to about 2 pounds per day quite safely. So you probably could increase that. The Supersport as well, increasing that might become kind of overkill at that point. I might be more inclined to keep the Supersport amino acid supplement the same, but it's a little, you know, a little bit tricky because we don't have the weights of what you're feeding to know for sure. But my biggest concern with that idea would be that we would actually be reducing the calories. And maybe that's a good thing. Maybe he, as he's a pre-insulin resistant horse, maybe he actually needs to lose a little weight. And that's something that you're struggling with, is the weight maintenance and him getting a little heavy. So that might actually be a good solution to reduce some of the alfalfa and then, you know, have a slightly higher protein quality that the ration balancer provides in its place. So hopefully that's given you some food for thought. Our next question is from Pearl. And Pearl has a 4 to 5 year old rescue pony. She says she's a very good mover. She's a fancy Hackney pony. But as is often the case with the Hackney ponies, she picks up fat pads quickly when she's on grass. And apparently she has a crusty, hard neck. So that's a little bit concerning. The good news is that Pearl had some blood work done, which is super. And so she knows that she is high insulin. So she does look like she has some insulin dysregulation. So that's a really important piece of her management picture that is really helpful to know. So she's no longer giving her carrots as treats for any of the in-hand training that she's doing. She goes on to say that she has quite a sloping shoulder and she has something of a dip in her back. And that over the past winter, she has been able to get some of the weight off of her. So that's super. I always advocate using winter as your friend when you're managing the overweight horses and ponies, because in the natural setting, horses would lose weight over the winter, but we often don't let them lose weight over the winter. So if you have a horse that's a little on the heavy side, then use winter and their need to burn more calories over the winter to your advantage and help you in getting some of that weight off before spring. But Pearl's wondering how to put a better top line on this pony without adding calories, because that's always a challenge. She currently feeds straight soybean meal, but only 3/4 cup twice a day. When she needs meds, she uses some soaked alfalfa Timothy hay pellets or a soaked alfalfa-based balancer. She says that she worries about her not getting enough vitamins and minerals and that she licks her Redmond salt block, but she isn't thrilled with the vitamin mineral powder that she sometimes adds to the soybean meal. She loves balancers apparently, but Pearl's concerned because she's been told that the wheat middlings in the balancers can be a problem. So what do I suggest for her? The pony weighs about 400 pounds. So let's unpack this question a little bit. As I mentioned, it's super that Pearl has blood work on this pony because she knows exactly what she's dealing with. And as we discussed in our last episode, it also means that she can, you know, do blood work after feeding different diets to see what effect the diets are having on her pony's insulin regulation, which is really the best way to know whether a diet is appropriate for that individual horse or not. It sounds like the Timothy alfalfa pellets and the alfalfa-based balancer are a little bit sporadic, and that she, if I'm understanding correctly, the pony is only getting those when she needs meds. And that specifically she mentions that this is doxy for Lyme. So this is obviously if she's having a Lyme flare, she's being put on that medication for that. So I'm gathering that means that she's not on the balancer all the time, all the Timothy alfalfa hay pellets. Don't know what kind of hay she's on, so I'm going to assume that she's on a somewhat low nutritional value grass hay. That would certainly be ideal, but she is on this soybean meal 3/4 cup twice a day, and the issue is she needs to build some more top line. The trick with building top line is once you have the building blocks necessary, so that quality protein providing you with all the amino acids you need to build muscle, you have to do the work to actually then create the muscle, which is a really sad reality because I wish it wasn't true, because I would be very happy sitting on my sofa not working out if that meant that I could gain muscle mass. That would be superb. But unfortunately, it doesn't work like that. So it's great that you're feeding the high quality source of protein in the soybean meal, because soybean meal has a really nice amino acid profile to it. However, really to get that top line developed, she's going to need to be doing some work. And my guess is she's, you know, probably too small, perhaps, Pearl, for you, for an adult to ride at 400 pounds. She's a very small pony. However, you know, if there's work that can be done in a round pen, on the lunge line, taking her for walks, ponying her off a larger horse is an excellent way to exercise ponies. Doing work that's going to help her build her top line. And obviously that means she needs to use herself correctly and not be going along with her head up and her back hollow. So that can be a challenge if they're not being ridden. But if you're good at lunging, you can lunge horses successfully as a way to build top line. I love the Equibands from Equicore Concepts. They are super for working a horse correctly. And what I love about them is that they engage the horse's hind end and activate their abdominal muscles. So they lift their abs and stretch their back. And there's nothing that goes on the front end of the horse. So we're not putting them in a frame in any way or a headset. We're really just encouraging them to work themselves properly, which can really help with building top line. So the soybean meal is great, but the soybean meal isn't fortified. And you mentioned that she really likes a balancer, and most balancers are soybean meal based and high in protein. And so I'm thinking that, you know, for her size, 3/4 cup twice a day of soybean meal, if she got the same amount of a high protein ration balancer, you know, this would do the same thing. It would give you your quality protein, your amino acids to help support top line development, but you'd also be getting the benefit of all the vitamins and minerals that you're currently not getting and that you're concerned about. Now, I know that you mentioned that you're concerned about wheat middlings, and there often are wheat middlings in ration balancing pellets because they help make a really good pellet, but they're perfectly safe to feed horses and they are a grain byproduct. And one of the reasons why we see so many wheat middlings is that they enable us to actually reduce the non-structural carbohydrate content versus if you just fed wheat. So the wheat middlings have somewhat, you know, significantly lower non-structural carbohydrate content compared to whole grains. And they're very useful for, you know, holding a pellet together structurally for horses that need more calories. They're actually a good source of calories. You know, it's the same level of calories almost in the wheat middlings as you'd get, say, in the wheat, but, you know, considerably less, more than half the amount of starch. So that's the benefit of wheat mids and why we see so many of them in the equine feeds in the US. So I would say, you know, find a ration balancer that you're happy to feed and that you feel that you could feed, you know, that about 3/4 cup twice a day would in fact meet her requirement, and go with that every day, because then you'll be getting all of your vitamins and minerals in addition to the soybean meal that you're already feeding. Okay, so let's move on to Laura. Laura says, I love your podcast. Thank you, Laura. We really appreciate hearing that people are enjoying our episodes. And her question is, I feed Tribute Essential K Ration Balancer to a variety of horses at my farm. A couple are not in work, either a youngster or retired horse. For those that are in work, the recommended feeding rate is quite high, 3 to 4 pounds a day. When I listen to your advice, a feeding rate for a ration balancer is 1 to 2 pounds. Does exercise increase the requirement of nutrients that much? If it does, should I decrease the amount fed on the horse's day off? The three in work are a mature 6- and 15-year-old and a 4-year-old German riding pony. So this is a great question, because I do, you know, when Michelle and I have talked about feeding ration balances, we do keep referencing a 1 to 2 pound serving size. And that is the typical serving size for most ration balances out on the market. But there are some out there that have slightly larger serving sizes, more in the 3 to 4 pounds a day, as you found with your Tribute Essential K ration balancer. And generally, you know, my biggest takeaway is you should always feed the manufacturer's, you know, recommended amounts. And if feeding the amount that's being recommended would result in your horse being overweight, then you need to find a feed with a smaller serving size. So if this is what this particular feed is recommending, that you should feed 3 to 4 pounds per day, then that's what you should feed in order to ensure that your horse is actually getting the right amount of sort of trace mineral and vitamin support. However, I will say that that particular ration balancer is very heavily fortified, as it has 900 parts per million of zinc and 300 parts per million of copper in it. Parts per million means milligrams per kilogram. So if you fed a kilo of that feed, which is 2.2 pounds, you would deliver 900 parts per million of zinc and 300 parts per million of copper. So, you know, most average size horses have a zinc requirement of about 400 milligrams and a copper requirement of about 100 milligrams. So that's quite well fortified. If in fact you fed 3 pounds of that ration balancer, you'd be feeding 1.36 kilos per day. And at 4 pounds of that ration balancer, you'd be feeding 1.8 kilos per day. So you would be fortifying that ration quite heavily at those feeding rates. I think it would depend on the size of your horse as to whether that's too much or not. I did notice that the feeding directions on the product web pages are not specific necessarily to the specific feed that's referenced on that page. So I noticed that their feeding directions are the same on their ration balancer as they are on their performance feed. And they have a calculator that you can go to and put more specifics about your horse in. and then they'll guide you as to how much you need to feed. So I would recommend checking that out, because it's possible that the sort of generic feeding instructions that are on all the feeds pages, whether it's a performance feed or a ration balancer, might not be appropriate for your horses, especially the pony. Hopefully the calculator that they have, when you put in the size of the horse, will be a little bit more specific than what the general recommendations are stating, and you can get a little bit more accuracy there. So yes, I do always tend to say that ration balance should be fed at about 1 to 2 pounds per day. There are some ration balances out there that have slightly larger serving sizes. Typically, that means that they're actually a little more dilute in their serving size. So for example, there's another feed that commonly has a 3 to 4 pound per day serving size, which is Triple Crown Light. And they have slightly lower amounts of zinc and copper in there than the Tribute Essential K. So the Triple Crown Light has 540 parts per million zinc and 140 parts per million copper versus the 900 parts per million zinc and 300 parts per million copper for the Tribute Essential K ration balancer. And they have similar, 3 to 4 pound a day serving sizes. That's more typical. The slightly lower rate that you're seeing in the Triple Crown Light would be what I would expect to see more commonly in a feed with a 3 to 4 pound serving size than the higher levels that you're seeing in the Tribute Essential K. So it definitely, pays to, the bottom line is you have to read your feeding instructions. Make sure that you are able to follow those feeding instructions the way the manufacturer recommends. And if you're unable to, because it's not providing enough calories or it's providing too many calories, then you need to go back to the drawing board and look at the manufacturer's feed line and see if there's something with a more appropriate feeding size for your particular horse. So I hope that that was helpful in answering those questions, and that other listeners out there who have maybe similar questions have now got answers to their questions. If you have questions about feeding your horse, please feel free to send them in to us at info@scoopandscale.com. That's scoopandscale spelled out .com. You can also find me, Dr. Claire Tunis, at clarityequine.com. And please make sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. We love it when you share on your social media and tell your friends. That's the biggest compliment. And for the Scoop and Scale podcast, I'm Dr. Claire Tunis. Thanks for riding along with me.